Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Oh, yes. Good morning. Good morning. It is the pregame show on 95.7 The Game with me, Stephen Langford, up until 6 o'clock. When Kozlo and Dibs will be taking over. But good morning, everyone. Quite a weekend we had in sports. Quite a weekend. We started it off with Dame Lillard missing those two free throws when the Blazers were up on the Clippers by one. And Dame Lillard still able to obliterate Paul George and Patrick Beverley, even though it was after the game. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll get into the details a little later on in the show, but social media between those guys was great. Then we had the blow no-no by Cueto, which turned into a much closer game than I think any Giants fan really wanted, even though they still did get the W. And I don't even know if we can call it a blow no-no by Johnny Cueto because of what happened. We'll get into that. The A's are playing some of the best baseball right now, some of the best team baseball right now, as a matter of fact. There's not really an individual performance that's getting it done. It's really what they're doing as a team. And yesterday, the big story out of that game was Ramon Laureano charging the Astros dugout. We'll get into that. The PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco had what, 5-6 guys at 10 under going into the back nine? Then Colin Morikawa coming in the clutch and having ice in his veins, mostly on the 14th and the 16th. That 16th when he drove the par four when it was, what, 294 out? Crazy. So we had that. I mean, we had a lot. We had a lot over the weekend. It was a lot of fun. Plus, we had the British Grand Prix, if you're into that Formula One sort of stuff, after watching Drive to Survive. Max Verstappen coming through with the Red Bull. Probably no one even knows what I'm talking about there. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. Now, the A's have won their ninth in a row, and they're now 12-1 in games in which they've hit a home run and 0-3 in games without. Now, the focus of that game yesterday will be Ramon Laureano. How long is he going to get suspended if he does get suspended? How long will Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron get suspended if he gets suspended as well? All that sort of stuff is going to be talked about today. And I'm going to be talking about that as well. That's going to be coming up at about 5:15, 5:20. But I do want to just kind of focus on the game yesterday and what stood out besides Ramon Laureano's little dust up there, because, you know, there were some details, by the way, that popped up about what Cintron said. We'll get to that coming up in the next segment. But I've been trying to talk about how this A's team, despite what they've been doing, it almost doesn't feel like their best players have played to their potential. And Chapman's slowly starting to get into the swing of things, pun intended. But one guy who we've been paying attention to is Matt Olson. And even though he's not really hitting much as far as average is concerned, yesterday,
You had rookie Christian Javier throwing for the Astros. In the first couple of innings, he was throwing pretty good. Looked like he was throwing with confidence. He has that weird long windup with that release, which makes it hard to see his breaking ball. And he's throwing his fastball in the mid-90s. He was looking pretty good. But then on a 3-2 count, when he's trying to get Matt Olson out of the box, and if you're a right-hander throwing against Matt Olson, that could be a pretty dangerous thing. And I say this time and time again, but Matt Olson, in my opinion, is a top three, I mean, maybe top five because I just can't name every single one, but he's a top three, top five mistake hitter in baseball, and he took advantage of one with the 3-2 count.
The 3-2 pitch to Olson, and here it is, and it's hit to right center, and it's in well. Straw's back, and that baby's gone. So three versus one, we'll take it. So Matt Olson, his fifth home run of the year, and that one does some damage.
Credit to NBC Sports California for the audio. And why do I say that that home run is the one that rattled Christian Javier, even though Robbie Grossman hit a solo shot in the second? Well, that's because solo shots happen all the time, and you could bounce back from that. But when a three-run homer happens, and the very next pitch, this happens, that's why I say he was rattled.
Chapman hits one deep, and that baby's gone. 5-0 A's lead.
Right on the next pitch. Right there. So 5-0 A's. And in the end, they didn't really have much of a chance of winning. And we know what happened later on. Again, I'm going to get into the Ramon Laureano coming up around the next segment. But Matt Olson has 5 home runs on the year. Chapman gathering 6 hits in the series with a couple of RBIs yesterday. And Frankie Montas gave them a quality start on Saturday, and he's been terrific. I'm really curious to see what happens when Frankie Montas reaches arbitration and they got to go through that whole rigmarole. Looking forward to that. But everyone needs to put on their white-rimmed glasses and look at what Jesus Luzardo is doing. 5 2/3 yesterday, giving up only 5 hits, a couple of runs, and he struck out 5. And apparently he wasn't too happy with his outing yesterday, and if he thinks that that was a bad outing for him. And if that was a bad outing, then you got a lot of stuff to look forward to, A's fans. But one thing that stood out to me in the past couple of starts in his debut, compared with his debut, is that he's a really good defensive pitcher. And there was that double play in the first inning of that game yesterday, where the ball's hit to Matt Olson, and it's got to be a 5-6-1 double play, or excuse me, a 3-6-1 double play, where it's from Matt Olson to Marcus Semien, and then you got to get the starting pitcher to cover first. And Jesus Luzardo has shown time and time again that he could be a pretty good defensive pitcher, but it's just the consistency at which he throws every single pitch that he has, whether it's his fastball or his sinker, which he can throw anywhere from 93 to 97 miles an hour, or whether it's his changeup or his slider, which he could take 10 miles an hour off that. And he throws all of those generally pretty even. He doesn't really stick with one pitch, and he does it all with a ton of movement. So it was very impressive what they're doing right now. 9 straight for the A's. And again, coming up in the next segment, we'll get to what happened with Ramon Laureano because some more details have popped up about that. But on to the Giants and what happened over the weekend with them. On the Saturday, Johnny Cueto had the no-hitter going into the 6th. And this is courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet in L.A., but here's the audio of what happened on Saturday for Johnny Cueto's no-no to get broken up.
70th pitch of the night. Comes with an extra interesting delivery. It's skied to left for Hunter Pence, who can't find the ball. And that is how the no-hitter ends. Hernandez is at third. Oh, no, for Johnny Cueto.
The elusive no-hitter because of the ball that turned invisible to Hunter Pence.
Now, I want to play this audio from Hunter Pence after the game, and he takes full accountability, talking about costing Johnny Cueto his no-hitter. Take a listen.
Johnny had the magic going. He had the rhythm going. He had everything working. And it was one of those special nights that, you know, doesn't always come around, and you could just feel it. And, you know, to spoil that feels absolutely awful. It would be a lot easier if, like, it affected, like, my stats or, you know, and not just the stats part of it, like that he has to wear for, you know, something that, you know, just he deserves better. Just that also that it was one of those nights that it was one of the, you know, best performances to be a part of. And, yeah, it's definitely feels awful.
Well, see, here's where I differentiate with that. I don't really blame Hunter Pence for what he did, and I know he might feel like it's his fault, but in the end, you can't really, you can't help it if the ball gets caught in the light and you lose sight of it and you're blinded for a second. That does happen in LA, and we were seeing it a ton happen yesterday with the sun and them just trying to block it out the entire time. They were managing to, I don't know, catch every single pop-up except for one with Brandon Belt in foul ball territory, but I don't blame Hunter Pence for that play. I think it was just a very unfortunate situation. And Johnny Cueto, he said the same thing, essentially, is that, you know, it's part of the game, and he doesn't blame Hunter Pence for any of what happened and for him breaking up his no-no or whatever. And in the end, you still had a few more innings to go. And it's not like, you know, it stinks that it happened at that time. If it were in the ninth inning, it'd be far worse. But in the end, I don't think Hunter Pence needs to take any accountability for that at all, even though he did, because he's a good teammate and Hunter Pence is a good guy. And anytime you hear him talking about something that happens within his career that's not exactly a good thing, listening to him talk about it, you should hear what he says and try and listen and try to really take it in, because Hunter Pence has a mindset that I really think that a lot of people should have whenever they face some sort of adversity. But in that game, Austin Slater had a couple of jacks. Mike Yastrzemski, he's starting to improve in the month of August. And the Giants totaled 10 hits in that game, scoring 5, while the Dodgers totaled 4 runs on 2 hits. That's the most 2020 baseball thing I've ever heard. 4 runs on 2 hits. Now, the Giants probably got together before the game Sunday and said, hey, if we copy the Dodgers strategy from last night, then we got this. We just need 2 hits, and we're good. We can get 4 runs if we only have 2 hits. Well, they did the 2 hits thing, but they only got 2 runs out of it, and this was the one.
Line drive, center field, base hit. That's 1. That's 2. Yastrzemski comes through. It's 2-0 Giants.
Feels like you never really see that with the Giants anymore. Credit to NBC Sports Bay Area for that audio, but you never see him get that 2 out, 2 strike clutch hit with 2 runners on. But Mike Yastrzemski was able to do it as he just poked it out to center field. But they did lose 6-2 into that game, and they couldn't get the 4 runs off the 2 hits like the Dodgers did the night before. They lost 2 of 3 in the series. Kevin Gausman had his best start as a Giant by far, and one of the better starts that we've seen in this season, and he held a very good Dodger team to just 3 hits while striking out 6. And one that stood out to me was when he painted the black with this 99-mile-an-hour fastball to strike out Max Muncy and totally confuse him. He must have been expecting a breaking ball or something, because he didn't guess that a 99-mile-an-hour fastball was going to be painted inside on him, but it was, and that was the one strikeout really that kind of made me go, whoa, all right, Gausman's on today. But he was mostly mixing in his fastball with his split change combination, whatever that pitch is, and he also has a slider to throw in with it, and that splitter that he has, it's just, or that changeup, that split change, as they call it, it's just straight filth. And if he's able to locate that and he, you know, gets it in the bottom of the zone, doesn't leave it up, then it's going to do some damage. And it did some damage yesterday. But he gave up a hit to Cody Bellinger 6 innings in. And at that point, Kapler just took him out and put Tyler Rogers in. And we know what happened from there. Tyler Rogers got touched up by a Turner single. Then A.J. Pollock got lucky. He didn't get walked, because that umpire yesterday had an incredibly wide strike zone. And still, he didn't get walked. He got it a called strike. It was a 3-2 count. Then Pollock hits a home run. And everything kind of goes to bleep for the Giants in that game. And it's yet again just another situation where you look at the data and you're thinking, Is that really the right move to make in that game, to put in Tyler Rogers, who already pitched 2 innings the night beforehand, and in the past 5 games has pitched a total of 17 innings, when you got a bunch of other arms in the bullpen? Again, I don't know what to make of these pitching changes, because he doesn't necessarily have the personnel to trust any of that, but we're seeing it again, the pitching struggles that happen with the San Francisco Giants and their relief core. Okay. Ramon Laureano, some more details have come out about what Alex Cintron, Astros hitting coach, said in this play to get Ramon Laureano heated. Also, among just getting hit, the team total was 5 over the weekend against the Astros, and they didn't do anything against the Astros as far as hitting players or intentionally trying to hurt them, despite, I mean, imagining in these past 2 years what could have happened with the A's had the Astros, I don't know, just not really not used some sort of cheating tactic. So the A's have every right to be mad, and they didn't show it at all in this game. But I do want to get into all this next. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. Stephen Lankford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Lankford.
Kick this game around like soccer. Good morning, everybody. It's Stephen Lankford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up till 6 o'clock. We're not a pregame to any game. I mean, we could be. I'm sure there's a sport going on somewhere that's starting right now or starting in a half hour. But we are the pregame show to the game coming up. Has a nice ring to it. Coming up, I want to discuss this. 888-957-9570, the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. Now, in the first segment, I didn't want to get into this topic right out the gate because the A's, after all, had won 9 in a row. So I did want to pinpoint some of the reasons as to why, whether it's just it's winning. Here's what's happening with the A's right now is they're getting clutch hits at the right time, getting home runs when they need to, and their relief pitching has been outstanding so far. Yusmeiro Petit has been awesome for the A's in the middle relief spot, kind of coming in that sixth, seventh inning role. And then, Jesus Luzardo having another good start yesterday, Frankie Montas on Saturday. But this Ramon Laureano play is what's going to be making the headlines, and there's a ton of stuff that goes way back with Laureano and kind of his history with this entire thing. And we've seen this before as far as Laureano not being afraid to talk to the other dugout and let them know when he's not okay with them doing something. I think it was against the Angels last year where Laureano had a little bit of an issue, or it might have even been the Astros. I can't remember which, but he has that competitive fire in him. And the A's had already been beaned 3 times over the weekend against the Astros. Well, the A's hadn't done anything. And what Bob Melvin said after the game really stood out to me. But here is the play in question. Ramon Laureano had already been hit 1 time in the game in the 5th inning, and when it came to the 7th, Ramon Laureano got hit again and decided to take some action for a specific reason. Take a listen.
My goodness. Laureano gets hit again. That's the second time. Now he's pointing at Castellanos. It looked like a breaking ball.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of standing around. Look out, folks. This is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. Laureano sprinted toward the dugout, and this is not good, folks. This is exactly what Major League Baseball said you absolutely cannot do. Ramon Laureano didn't like what he was hearing from the dugout, and he started sprinting right at the dugout.
But you're right.
This is going to cost some players some games, and that's why it's a big mistake.
You're right.
That's courtesy of NBC Sports California. Now, we saw what happened after he got beat, for one. Laureano was teaching this young guy. It was Humberto Castellanos on the It was Humberto Castellanos on the Astros, and it looked like he was teaching him how to throw a breaking ball. And he said, "Look, if you're trying to throw a fastball down the middle, you got to at least push it. And when you're throwing a breaking ball and your hands are in this grip, You got to make sure that you release it at this time, not that time. And it looked like that's what he was doing. He didn't look like he wanted to charge the mound just because he got hit for a second time. But in kind of like a gangster fashion, he was teaching him how to pitch as he's on the mound. But then Alex Cintron, Astros hitting coach, with a mask on, is chirping from the dugout. And Ramon Laureano hears it from the front or from first base. And you see the camera angle that they had on it was perfect because they had it from as if the camera was pointing from left field looking toward first base into the Astros dugout. And you see him egging him on, trying to get him to run to the dugout, kind of like Amir Garrett did from the Cincinnati Reds against the Pirates last season, where he just ran and tried to take on the entire Pirates team. But Ramon Laureano didn't take too kindly to what Cintron was saying, and he charged after him, and Astros catcher Dustin Garneau put him in some sort of grapple and didn't let him do anything. But Alex Cintron was chirping and then hid behind his team when Laureano actually charged. And there's a couple of things. One, that's just a chump move. You know, if you're going to do that, like, and especially if you're a coach and you know that your team is being protected at all costs from baseball because they don't want them to get hurt after finding out that they cheated. And now you're going to egg the other team on and hide behind your teammates and your players when you're a coach. It's like, what are you doing? And Ramon Laureano, you know, even though he did charge the dugout, and you're not supposed to do that in this day and age, and you're not supposed to start a scrum where everyone is going to be within close proximity of each other, that's something that you don't want. And we saw what happened with Joe Kelly of the LA Dodgers when that whole thing with the Astros happened and he threw over Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman's head. He got a suspension of 8 games. And I want to know from you, 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as a phone number. I want to ask, and I need you to look at this realistically. Now, I'm not looking at this from a fan perspective, because I'm going to be in the same boat as you are, that he does not deserve even more than 8 games. But knowing baseball and how they're trying to protect the Astros this year, I want to know from you, 888-957-9570, will it be over or under 8 games for Ramon Laureano's suspension? We know that it should be under, but do you think Major League Baseball will do the right thing and actually put that suspension under 8 games, as opposed to what Joe Kelly did when he legitimately tried to hurt one of these players or threatened to hurt one of these players? Here's Bob Melvin after the game. Listen to his thoughts on what happened with Laureano.
Ramon doesn't go over there unless something completely offensive came out of that dugout. And I think the league will know who that is, and that person should get suspended. So hopefully that's the case. It's hard to get hit. What was it, 5 times I think we got hit in the series? And we played it straight up. We didn't go after anybody there. I'm not saying they went after anybody, but to get hit 5 times is hard to swallow. So what you do is you go out and beat them, and that's what we did. We understand, and you do the best you can with these things. Obviously, we don't want to get into a brawl like that, and we understand the protocol. So, unfortunately, it happened.
And there are a couple of things that he said there that I want to get into, but he did say he wouldn't have ran over there unless it was something offensive. There's a report that's come out from Jose De Jesus Ortiz, and at Ortiz Kicks on Twitter. And he's got a blue check mark. He's a former sports columnist for a ton of teams. And again, these are just rumors, but this is what surfaced on Twitter. And this is from Jose De Jesus Ortiz. We'll know more soon, but a person I respect has been told that the A's Ramon Laureano charged toward Alex Cintron because Cintron mentioned Laureano's mother in a bad way. In Latino culture, those are fighting words. Hashtag Astros, hashtag athletics. And he continued, the person who told me this described Laureano as one of the nicest men alive. Remember, Laureano knows many folks in the Astros organization. So those are the rumors right now. And baseball needs to do an investigation, a proper investigation of what was said, because there are certain lines that shouldn't be crossed when you're on a field. And it's And if you are talking about another player's mother, I mean, let's look at when Zinedine Zidane threw the headbutt in 2006 with France versus Italy. I don't remember the Italian player's name, but wasn't that because the Italian player said something about Zidane's sister? So it's when you talk about a family member, that's when the line gets crossed. So hopefully Major League Baseball conducts a pretty thorough investigation and tries to find out what he was saying. And from the 408 here on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570, it should be about 8 to 10 games for Ramon, but they should not protect the Astros when they are the team that instigates it. And it's just so hypocritical to be that team. And something that Bob Melvin said in that clip really stuck out to me. And this A's team, up there with the Yankees as well as the Dodgers, they have every right to be as mad as any team at the Astros organization because they're within the same division and the A's were starting to get hot as the Astros were clearly using cheating tactics to win games. And the Astros haven't done well this season at all, by the way. And I was on here in the first four games of the season because they were third in the league in hitting. And I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to make of the Astros if they keep this up? Well, it turns out it was just a four-game series against the Mariners and it turned out to be a little bit of a fluke. But what Bob Melvin said, though, was that they didn't try to start anything. The Astros hit five of their guys. The A's didn't try and hit any of their guys. They didn't want to intentionally do that. They just wanted to beat them on the field. And that, you know, besides clearing the benches and getting, you know, maybe hitting a player, or throwing at a player, throwing behind a player, whatever, there is no better way to embarrass the Astros for their cheating scandal than to just go out and beat them and sweep them, as a matter of fact. And that's what the A's tried to do. And that's why I've kind of always respected Bob Melvin and the type of manager that he is. He's never been that sort of sly kind of manager who always has things, subtle things planned so that the A's can have some sort of advantage in that fashion. And it's just, no, we wanted to go out and beat them, and that's it. We didn't have any other motive other than to just go out and win. And that is the best form, to me, at least on a sports field, of getting back at that team who might have taken away your chances at going into a playoff and not having to go into the wild card, whatever. So I just think that this situation right now, I don't know what's going to go down with Laureano, but if they suspend him for more than eight games compared to what happened with Joe Kelly, and we saw what Joe Kelly said. You know, if you didn't see what Joe Kelly was mouthing out, but just look at the words that he was mouthing out to Carlos Correa after he struck him out, and that's really what started the whole bench clearing thing with the Dodgers and the Astros. It wasn't Laureano who said anything. Alex Cintron, the hitting coach, it was reported that he said something about Ramon Laureano's mother. And Laureano didn't take too kindly to that. Now, I know the first base coach, Mike Aldretti, he maybe should have gotten in the way because he wasn't really holding Laureano back. Maybe that just goes to show what Alex Cintron was saying. Aldretti's like, you know what? Go ahead. Go ahead and go. You know? Is that what he was thinking when he heard what Cintron said? Because he definitely did hear that. He definitely did hear that. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. We got a lot to get into today because the weekend was filled with thrilling things, and including the PGA Championship, something that happened with Dame Lillard in the NBA bubble, the Giants losing 2-3 to the Dodgers over the weekend with that Cueto blown no-no. There's a lot to get into today. 888-957-9570 from the 510. Langford, you're still much softer than Laureano. I'll leave you all with that as we go into break here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Joe Kelly from the Dodgers was suspended for eight games when all that stuff happened with the Astros, when the Dodgers and the Astros were playing for the first time this year, and Joe Kelly threw above Carlos Correa and Alex Bregman's head trying to hurt them. and you know, went off the field, struck out Carlos Correa, said some things, and then the bench clearing brawl happened, and Joe Kelly was suspended 8 games. Not a lot of people agreed with that because, you know, it's pretty hypocritical of giving him 8 games in that circumstance. But I want to know from you, 888-957-9570, and I want you to look at it realistically. I think we all feel, if we're watching that, we'd all feel that we want... We do think that Laureano should not get suspended for 8 games. I think we'd understand that a suspension is probably imminent because that he charged the dugout in the end. And in these times and these rules that MLB has implemented, you just can't do that right now. And they're going to throw down some sort of suspension on him. At least I think they will. But will it be over or under 8 games? And I want to know from you, 888-957-9570. And I want you to look at it realistically, not from what you think he should get. Because if it was our decision, Laureano would not be suspended, and Alex Cintron would be the one suspended, Astros hitting coach. I think that'd be what we'd all want. But realistically, what is going to happen? Because yesterday, and this is what gets lost, but you know, the A's are on a 9-game winning streak right now. They're one of the hottest teams in baseball. They've been doing it by getting clutch home runs early and relievers coming in and getting the dirty work done. The starters have been, you know, okay. Montas and Lizardo have been really good, but Mike Fiers and Sean Manaea haven't been playing as well as we know that they could. And so some relievers have been able to pick up the slack, and you've been able to get timely home runs from these guys. Marcus Semien and Matt Olson with another 3-run home run yesterday. Marcus Semien with one on Saturday. Matt Chapman with 2 in a row. And they are currently 12-1 on the year when they do hit home runs, and they're 0-3 when they don't hit any. So obviously that seems to be the key in order for them to get a win. But this was the play yesterday that was the storyline.
Laureano gets hit again. That's the second time. Now he's pointing at Castellanos. It looked like a breaking ball.
Yeah.
So everybody kind of standing around. Look out, folks. This is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. Laureano sprinted toward the dugout, and this is not good, folks. This is exactly what Major League Baseball said you absolutely cannot do. Ramon Laureano didn't like what he was hearing from the dugout, and he started sprinting right at the dugout.
But you're right.
This is going to cost some players some games, and that's why it's a big mistake.
You're right.
Courtesy of NBC Sports California, I didn't know that I'd be coming in here talking about this today. I almost came in here thinking that from 5 to 6 would have been talking about whether NBA should put their wacky inflatable arm flailing tube mans on the opposing side whenever the away team is shooting a free throw in the bubble. I thought I was going to be talking about that for an entire hour. But then this happened yesterday, and Laureano was already hit once in the fifth. And in the team total for them over the weekend of getting hit was 5 different times from Astros pitchers. And Laureano was hit in the fifth. That's once. And it was hit by a fastball. Then he was hit in the seventh by a breaking ball. And it was Humberto Castellanos. And he was just another young pitcher, because everyone in that Astros pitching staff is a rookie except for Zach Greinke. At least that's what it feels like. And a lot of them have been plagued by injury this year, so they've had a lot of rookie pitchers pitching. And Laureano, after he got hit, you know, he was talking to the pitcher or whatever, and the catcher went out and tried to block him, thinking that he was going to charge the mound. But no, you could clearly see that Laureano was like teaching him how to grip his breaking ball and how to actually release it. You could see with his hand motions that he's pushing it forward, and you know, he's teaching him, here's the difference. You gotta, you know, you keep it this way, then it's gonna go down the middle. But if you keep it this way, then it's gonna get away from me. It's gonna hit me like it just did. It was actually kind of funny with the way that he put it. But then once Laureano got to first base, Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron was chirping from the dugout with the mask below his chin, by the way. And one of those cheap masks too. Like, you know, this is baseball. Can't get a better mask than that one. But anyway, he He was chirping at Laureano. He said something that set Laureano off, and Laureano charged the Astros dugout, kind of like Amir Garrett did to the Pirates dugout last season. And he was going straight for Cintron, but instead Cintron hid behind his players, and Dustin Garneau sort of put him in a grapple. He just grabbed a hold of him, and it looked like some sort of UFC move. And he just grappled him, put him on the ground, and he just held him there until they got out of the scrum. But Bob Melvin spoke after the game, and here's what he had to say involving this his thoughts and what was going on when Laureano charged the Astros dugout.
Moon doesn't go over there unless something completely offensive came out of that dugout, and I think the league will know who that is, and that person should get suspended. So hopefully that's the case. It's hard to get hit. What was it, 5 times I think we got hit in the series? And we played it straight up. We didn't go after anybody there. I'm not saying they went after anybody, but to get hit 5 times is hard to swallow. So what you do is you go out and beat them, and that's what we did. We understand, and you do the best you can with these things. Obviously, we don't want to get into a brawl like that, and we understand the protocol. So, unfortunately, it happened.
And here is the latest from what Bob Melvin was talking about. He said right at the beginning of the clip, here, let me just play that for you once again. He said Cintron must have said something that set him off.
Moon doesn't go over there unless something completely offensive came out of that dugout. And I think the league will know who that is, and that person should get suspended.
And this is from Jose De Jesus Ortiz on Twitter. He's a former beat writer for multiple teams, the Cardinals, the Rays, the Brewers, if I'm not mistaken. And this is from him on Twitter. We'll know more soon. This is by the way, this is just a report. This is just a rumor. This isn't anything definitive. But he says, we'll know more soon. But a person I respect has been told that the A's Ramon Laureano charged toward Alex Cintron because Cintron mentioned Laureano's mother in a bad way. In Latino culture, those are fighting words. And then he continued, the person who told me this described Laureano as one of the nicest men alive. Remember, Laureano knows many folks within the Astros organization. Now, Laureano has shown that he has that competitive fire in him, that he's not afraid to speak his true thoughts to the opposing dugout. He did that last season when he was thrown out a little bit, and he's not afraid to do that. You don't see the A's are full of guys for the most part who let their play do the talking. You know, guys like Marcus Semien and Matt Chapman and Matt Olson, all those guys. And Laureano, for the most part, is one of those guys too. But if something is going to set him off, then he's not afraid to go after the opposing dugout. And that's what happened yesterday. And if that is what was said, then MLB needs to do everything in their power to get to the bottom of what really was said. And, you know, Laureano, there's going to be a suspension put in place for him. 8 games is what everyone's looking at because Joe Kelly sort of set that standard when he got suspended from that Dodgers and Astros game. But I do think, though, that what Cintron said should be taken into account. And when you are a hitting coach, a coach, and you're doing that to provoke another player, I think this is the prevailing thought with everybody. It's not really much of a hot take, but this hitting coach, he needs to have more suspensions than Laureano because he was the one that provoked it. And the Astros are the Astros started by beating 5 guys in the first place and them getting frustrated by it. So if Laureano is suspended for more games than Cintron for what he did, then what is baseball doing? It's very hypocritical what's happening with the Astros right now, because in the beginning of the season, Dusty Baker was asked about, you know, players being protected and baseball needs to make sure their guys aren't getting beaned all over the place. Well, you know what? He's got to keep his guys in check too. And when he was asked about what Cintron said, he knew what Cintron said, but he acted like he didn't know what he said. He acted like he had no idea. When he was asked the question, I was going to play the sound for you, but the audio wasn't too clear. I mean, he said for 50 seconds, he just talked about his experience with what happened of him getting into a fight when someone said something bad about another player. And then he didn't even answer the question. He just said, I don't really know what Cintrone said. I'll look into it. He absolutely does. He has to have known what Cintrone said. He was yelling at it. He was yelling at Laureano from the dugout, and he don't have any crowd. You don't have any fans in the stands. He for sure heard what he said. Anyway, hopefully Major League Baseball handles this the appropriate way. It was something pretty entertaining that happened in that game because we do like seeing that. But during this pandemic, it is tough when you watch just a big group within such close proximity of each other. And this is from the 415. Laureano will get more than 8 games and more than the Astros coach because the MLB is incompetent when it comes to this kind of stuff. And you are absolutely correct. And that's why I said we need to look at this realistically instead of how we view it, because I think a lot of people would share the same sentiment that I have. And and you should see the reaction on social media to Ramon Laureano. Everyone, I'm an A's fan. Like, if you look at the Houston Asterix 2020 tour, that's the most popular Twitter account, kind of following the Astros this season and really just holding them accountable for everything that happens. Everyone commented on it saying, I'm a big Ramon Laureano fan now, player of the month, player of like the MVP of this year, all that kind of stuff. So everyone seems to be on Laureano's side with this one. It's just a question of what Major League Baseball will do. And again, it doesn't take away from what the A's are doing. They won 9 in a row, and they're one of the best teams in baseball right now. And there doesn't seem to be anyone that's getting in their way until, you know, they got the A's and the Giants this weekend. Oof. I do want to get into this, though, as well. And this is something that happened over the weekend with the Blazers and the Clippers. And it's something that not only what Lillard did on Saturday, but what he did yesterday, which kind of just put a stamp on the entire thing. But the Blazers were up by one on the Clippers in the closing moments of the game. And Dame Lillard went to the free throw line and he missed two in a row, which is not very common for Dame Lillard. He doesn't miss. He doesn't miss two free throws in a row. That just doesn't happen. But it did this time. And Patrick Beverley, who wasn't even wearing a uniform, he was out of this game. And Paul George, who was taken out in the closing minutes, they started chirping at him. And it's, look, I really like Patrick Beverley. I think he's great for the NBA. I think that even though he's he doesn't really put the numbers up on the stat sheet, but he aggravates superstars, and I think that's actually pretty funny. But they were chirping at Dame Lillard after he missed these free throws, and Dame Lillard after the game, he said, and he was so calm, and he had, you know, and Dame Lillard's known to have that calm demeanor, but you know, he's also he will attack you if he needs to in the postgame press conferences. And when he was asked about it, he said, I sent Patrick Beverley home before. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. And he's like, so I've done that before. And Paul George, when it was posted to Bleacher Report, Paul George commented on it saying, and you're getting sent home this year. Respect. Then Patrick Beverley says, Cancun on three with the crying face emoji. And Dame Lillard then responded at Paul George saying, switching teams, running from the grind, you boys are chumps. then Paul George responded again, respect that too. In my stint with my first team, I had more success. Dame time running out, G. All right. From the 510, Steve, first, thanks for giving the A some airtime. Two, Laureano will probably get 5 after appeal, which is trash. 3, Houston looks shook. They really do. They really do. And I really wish I could hear about what Laureano had to say after the game, because his comments, I couldn't find any of them. All we really had were some from Jesus Luzardo and Matt Olson, who were really tame about the entire thing. And I mean, it should have been Jesus Luzardo's start that we paid attention to yesterday, but instead it was unfortunately what happened in the seventh inning. I forgot Austin Allen, by the way, was also ejected from that game. He really just ran into the scrum and was looking for something. You know, it's catchers, man. Catchers. There was a video, I forgot about this, but there was a video posted on Twitter, and I think it was on the 5th, so quite a few days ago, but it was like happy anniversary, and it was from 2012, but it was a fight happening in between the Phillies and the Giants, and Eli Whiteside was catching, and I forgot who was pitching, but Shane Victorino was hitting the back. And And as soon as he got hit, Victorino went out to the mound, and Whiteside did the catcher thing where he ran out in front of Victorino to try and stop him going after his pitcher, but he just started jumping. As he just started jumping in unison, trying to get ready for a fight. Legitimately, he wasn't looking to hold him back. He was looking to fight him, but the umpire got in between them. So Whiteside kept jumping, turned in mid-jump, and then went toward Placido Polanco. I don't know what it is with catchers. But anyway, Austin Allen was ejected from that game as well. It remains to be seen how many games for a suspension that he might get from yesterday's little dust up. But that was just a couple of things that happened over the weekend with that Dame time and between Paul George and Patrick Beverley. That was pretty cool. And then Dame Lillard, what does he do? Scores 51 yesterday, takes the Pelicans out of playoff contention because the Pelicans have not looked great, even though with the strength of schedule, I think the NBA really wanted the Pelicans to play in the playoffs. But Dame Lillard put a stop to that yesterday as the Blazers got the win over the Sixers. And, you know, I mean, I might have taken the Blazers -3 there, so cashed out. From the 415, catchers are hockey players who can't skate. Nice. I like that one. It's a good point. There was another thing that happened with the NBA over this weekend. And you know, we've known as Warrior fans here in the Bay Area, we knew that this guy could get to TNT or some sort of post-game show. We knew that Draymond Green was going to be doing some sort of broadcasting job when he was done playing. And I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to. I'm going to take a victory lap right now. And because when this stuff was going down with him and Charles Barkley, Barkley calling him, you know, the third member of the boy band, you know, saying all this stuff about Draymond, then Draymond clapping back, I said, and this was on March 11th, so this was right before the entire season got suspended and we didn't have any sports, but I said that this is a perfect setup for Draymond to go on Inside the NBA when playoffs are happening, or some iteration of playoffs, and he can go on with Charles Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith can be the aggravator, because we saw that earlier this year when Klay Thompson joined in. And Charles Barkley said something about your guys' team is not that good of shooters. Stop it. Like all that sort of stuff. And Kenny Smith was like, wait, what'd you say, Chuck? What did you say something earlier this year too about the defense? And then, you know, he was like egging him on. And when I thought Draymond could go on TV, that would be perfect. And Draymond got fined $50,000 in his appearance for quote unquote tampering. Here's the clip courtesy of TNT.
Obviously, Devin Booker, everybody knows him, but this is a team that's gone down there and gone 4-0 so far.
It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck, but
wow.
They got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win, because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
And then he ended up getting fined $50,000, which is, you know, like compared to me, that's probably like a dollar for Draymond. But here's my question. Now, whenever we're talking about superstars going to this Warrior team, and that's what they thought, he was tampering for Booker to come to the Warriors. I don't get why these guards come up. When Bradley Beal's name was mentioned, it's, oh, he's a guard. He's not a good fit. When D'Angelo Russell came to the team, oh, he's a guard. I don't think he's a good fit because he's a guard. Why would it be any different with Devin Booker? Because Devin Booker is an incredibly good scorer, one of the better ones in the league. I just don't get where the minds change on that when it comes to, and maybe it's because he makes up for that, that positional sort of breakup. And, you know, it's been said that it's not so easy just to move Klay Thompson to small forward away from the guard spot. The guard spot is where he could be most effective, where he can run around and not necessarily have to dribble the entire time. Small forward's a little different in that aspect when you're running it on offense. You could do it on defense, but when you're running it on offense, it could be a little different. But I saw this, and I don't want to take credit for this, and I don't know if this is true, but someone was looking on the other side of this, and they were thinking that Draymond only mentioned this because, and I wish I could give the credit where the credit's due, But Draymond only said this because the Suns are an up-and-coming team, and he doesn't want Devin Booker to continue with him and DeAndre Ayton in the Western Conference, and he wants to give the Warriors more of a chance. I don't know. Pretty interesting take there. All right, we've talked a lot about a lot of stuff on this show today. Could have gone for another few hours, but we do have Kozlo and Dibs coming up next. Shout out to the A's. We'll see if they can get 10 straight on the year, and we'll see if the Giants can bounce back after losing 2 of 3 to the Dodgers as they take on the Astros. Stephen Langford on the pregame show. Kozlo and Dibs coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.